The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please do be seated. I don't know about you, but I think today is a good day to be celebrating. Today is a great day to be celebrating. But I wonder what causes you to celebrate? What gets you really excited? Maybe you've had some news recently that has caused celebration in your home. It might be a new home. You've just managed to get your first ever home, or a new home that you've been waiting for. Or perhaps you've just got a brand new tattoo and you've been desperate to show it off to everyone and you're excited about that. Perhaps you've got a new pet who's come to live with you as well, or a new job, or maybe a grandchild, or maybe you just found out that you're cancer-free. Maybe your favourite football team won. Maybe you're a Brazilian fan. But also today we're celebrating mixed baptism. There's all sorts of reasons that we can be celebrating. And they've done all sorts of scientific research, and they found out that actually celebrating is really good for us. It's good for us physically, it's good for us mentally, and it's good for us spiritually as well. Celebrating, it makes us feel good when we celebrate something wonderful that's happening. We feel great, don't we? It can change our life. When you celebrate good news, it can change your life. But I don't know about you, but I don't find myself celebrating nearly as much as I would like to. Quite often, there's lots of things to sort of commiserate, aren't there? Rarely do we turn on the news or open our news app or get a newspaper and see a whole load of things to celebrate. Sometimes at the news, they might give you one bit at the end, just a "and finally" kind of thing. But most of the other stuff can be pretty depressing. There aren't loads of things to celebrate, it seems like, in our world. Certainly not that we hear about often through the media. And sometimes this world can feel like a pretty joyless place, particularly if we're listening to the things that are coming to us through screens. But celebrating is good for us. We know that, don't we? Well, next week, over 2 billion people from around the world are going to be celebrating Easter. Over 2 billion people from every country around the world, some openly, some secretly, because of what it means to share their faith. They're going to be celebrating the self-sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. I wonder, will you be one of them? Will you be celebrating Easter with us? But why would all these people, why would 2 billion people from around the world want to celebrate something that happened, we were reading today, about 2,000 years ago? Why is that still relevant to today? Why would we want to celebrate that? Well, recently some research has been done on how people feel about religion, and specifically about Christianity. They've canvassed loads and loads of people, and they found out some really interesting things. And they asked people one particular question, and this is from all different faiths and no faiths. They said, "What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? Who is he?" And well, this research was, I thought, was absolutely fascinating. And four of the things that seemed to come out on top was that he is loving, he is peaceful, he is a spiritual person and he is a leader. I don't know about you, but isn't that what this world needs? A loving, spiritual, peaceful leader. Think about the world we live in. If we had that kind of person in charge, isn't that the kind of thing that would make you want to celebrate? It would for me. Think about the world that we live in. Having a leader like that would be amazing. Well, we're going to look at the last reading to work out why he's the sort of person that we want to celebrate today, next week, forever. So quick things. Where are we? When are we? Who's there? So where? So Jesus has just arrived into Jerusalem in Israel, and Jerusalem is the epicenter of Jewish worship, but it was under Roman rule. They weren't able to do whatever they want. They had quite a lot of freedom, but they weren't able to do what they wanted. In every street corner, there would be a Roman soldier on guard just to remind them who is really in control. That's where we are. When is this happening? This is happening at a special feast called Passover. Passover is a time when the Jewish people gather together, have a great big celebration, and remembering how nearly 2,000 years ago, God had rescued them out of slavery in Egypt. He'd led them across the Red Sea and freed them, brought them into this promised land. So it's a time of excitement and celebrating. But who is there? Well, there are thousands and thousands of devout Jews from Israel, but from all over that part of the world, coming together, expecting different things. Some of them expecting to be just celebrating the festival. Some of them, I imagine, less interested in that, perhaps some looking for an uprising. What a great opportunity to kick out the Romans and to be free. And there's Jesus, traveling around for about 3 years at this point, doing incredible things, changing people's lives, doing miracles, healing people's illnesses, curing people who were blind, doing things like turning water into wine so that a wedding banquet doesn't go bad, calming storms to help his friends, but doing all of that alongside teaching his followers what it means to be part of God's family. But his whole life up until this point, these 33 years, was leading to what was going to happen in these next 7 days. Let's get a bit of a look and see what Mark, who's one of the gospel writers, has put here. So he says in verses 8 to 10, he said, many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Now today is Palm Sunday, but I wonder if you noticed something missing from our readings today. Did anyone spot what was missing? They're palms. There's no mention of palms at all in Mark's gospel. So like, right, we've got a sermon to write palms. Oh no, there's no palms in this reading. What are we going to do? Well, in the Bible, you've got 4 different eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus and of what happened on this day. And John's Gospel, which is the 4th of those eyewitness accounts, he mentions about the palms. And we don't get the other mention here. We get about sort of coats thrown down, and we get a lot of information about a donkey. Mark really wants us to pay attention to that. He spends quite a lot of time on that, doesn't he? But no mention of palms. Is that a contradiction? Well, no. Imagine you had a big event taking place down in Brighton and 4 different journalists went to go there, maybe one from the Telegraph, one from the Financial Times, one from the Daily Mail, one from the Sun. They're going to report on the same thing, but they're each going to take slightly different pieces of information away that are relevant to their readers. That's exactly what we find here. So what is going on? Well, the people are celebrating the arrival of Jesus in the middle of this Passover celebration. You imagine everyone else is walking along about, you know, the same sort of height, in between 5 to 6 foot, and then all of a sudden someone slightly higher up, Jesus, because he sat on a donkey. And the people get whipped up into excitement at this point, and they start celebrating, and they start shouting. They shout, Hosanna! Hosanna, we were singing Hosanna earlier, weren't we? Hosanna is a shout of joy, but it also kind of means save us. It's the kind of thing that you would shout to a king. Hooray, hooray, you've come to save us, Hosanna. That's what it means. But they're also saying, we heard in our psalm, in the name of the Lord. Someone's coming not just in their own name, but in God's name. This is someone with God's accreditation, someone as blessed, special person. He is the coming king. Now, as I said, God's people, they were living under Roman rule at this time. They didn't have their own king. And they were harking back like 1,000 years to great King David and everything that he had done when life was good. And they're like, yes, it's going to be like that again. We're excited. Little did they know that it was a different kind of king. But why is this significant? Why all this stuff that they're shouting and getting celebrating, why is this significant? Well, it's significant because it's actually fulfilling something that God had promised would happen hundreds of years before. Zechariah, he's an Old Testament prophet. He was someone sent by God with a message for God's people several hundred years before Jesus was born. And he says this in Zechariah 9, verse 9. He says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion." He's talking about the people of Jerusalem. "Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous." He's good. "Victorious, he's won, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So you've got this picture of a king who's wonderful, he's victorious, he's returning from having won the battle, but he's riding on a donkey. What kind of king rides on a donkey? But Jesus is fulfilling these promises made about what the king would be like. Up on the screen, here's a picture with, looks like a sort of a spirograph kind of thing. And some of you might have seen this before. This is all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled that are recorded for us. He probably did others that aren't recorded for us. On the left-hand side are the promises made in the Old Testament, so the first 39 books of the Bible. And each time you see a line going over, that's a time that Jesus fulfilled it. Some of those things he was doing on purpose, like here, but some of them are like the place of his birth. Now, you don't have control over where you are born, do you? But a prophecy was made that he would be born in Bethlehem. And that's where he was born. But also the nature of his death and what would happen to his clothes. Again, you don't have control over those kind of things, do you? Unless God is in control. So that's what Jesus is doing. And one of those lines there is him fulfilling this promise. So what I hope you see is this shows us that Jesus is a spiritual leader. He's two of those things that the people canvassed in that research said that they thought he is. So there's some of the facts. He is a spiritual leader. He's a leader who's come from God. But is he loving and is he peaceful? Well, that's the other thing we need to find out. Now, I want you to cast your minds back. Some of us were sat here in church watching the king's coronation and all the splendor of it and how much preparation went into it and all of the drama and the theatrics. It was incredible. I don't think I'll ever forget it. And how much effort was put into that. It was absolutely amazing. Well, this is kind of like Jesus' coronation. And what a difference it is. Think about comparing what we're reading here of Jesus' coronation coming into the city as the king versus what we saw on our screens just a few months back. Someone wrote this: "Not for Jesus flowers and garlands, but ordinary cloaks and branches. Not for him the splendor of a conquered army and his own troops, but peasant crowds and even children. He rides not on a war chariot, but on a young donkey. He hasn't come to conquer the city. He hasn't come to conquer anything, but to be conquered, to give his life as a ransom for many. This is not a ride to victory and glory, but a ride to service and death. And yet, in this way, Jesus will win a victory and draw a people to himself." Palm Sunday shows us the kind of person Jesus is. Not arriving on a war horse, but on a donkey, a farmyard animal. He is a peaceful, spiritual leader. He has come to bring peace, vertical peace between us here on earth and between God in heaven. He's come to bring peace between us and God, but also horizontal peace with one another, between God and humanity and between our neighbors and ourselves. But also in the way in which he does this shows us the depths of his love, giving up his own life. We're going to see that on Good Friday in a few days' time. I do hope you'll come back to one of our two services. Good Friday is going to show us just how much he loved me, how much he loved you. That even if you were the only person in the world, because of his great love for you, he would still have come and died for you. You see, just like the people asked in that research were hoping Jesus to be like, we see actually firsthand that Jesus is a loving, peaceful, spiritual leader. But also, he's more than that, isn't he? He is God. He's our creator. He's our rescuer. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he wants you to know him too. So the question is not whether Jesus is a loving, peaceful, spiritual leader that we need. Well, I think we can see that he is. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? Mixed baptism is being a powerful sign of someone choosing to publicly celebrate and recognize Jesus Christ as their master and find their place within God's family. But as Jan said, it's not always easy. Mick, along with each and every one of us who are followers of Jesus, will need to support one another on this journey, not to give up when the going gets tough for being a Christian. It must be very easy to join in with the crowd and the excitement on Palm Sunday. Everyone was celebrating. But what about celebrating later on in the week? What about on the Friday where basically all of Jesus' friends abandoned him? And even one of his best friends, Peter, swearing publicly, "I never even knew the guy." I'm wondering, would we still be celebrating Jesus as our master when it's that hard? So on this Palm Sunday, are you celebrating? Are you celebrating this Jesus? Now, maybe you don't feel like celebrating and you don't see that as a problem. Well, I want to challenge you. Are you willing to draw the line from who Jesus is to yourself and to you and to your life? Or perhaps you find it hard to celebrate because things are going really hard in your life at the moment. Well, reach out to your church family for prayer and support. We have an opportunity to pray for you after the service or to fill in a prayer form as well. Reach out. Don't try and do it alone if things are hard. You're finding it hard to celebrate. But if this does cause you to celebrate, then wonderful, praise God. The Bible talks about God giving us an inexpressible joy. I almost can't explain it, that even though things might be tough in my life, I've got this joy, I've got this peace, that actually things are going to be okay because of Jesus. Well, if that's you, I want you to encourage other people too. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with those that God puts around you, friend and stranger. And if you're not sure about this, well, come back and discover for yourself why this Jesus is definitely worth celebrating. Amen.